Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. This morning and again this evening we will celebrate the feast of St. Francis, a saint who at least popularly is known for his love of animals. But really the thing about St. Francis that is more remarkable was that St. Francis was simply about love. Not just of birds and dogs and all those other creatures that you often see him pictured with flying around and hanging. The real core of what St. Francis was trying to help us to understand really comes from the Shema that we receive in the Gospel of Mark. When one of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, and they were disputing with one another, asked, which is the greatest commandment? Which is first of all? And Jesus says this saying, this reminder that stands on the lips of our Jewish brothers and sisters every day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and with all your strength. And the second, so much like it, love your neighbor as yourself. I can think in these days of no more powerful sentiment. In a time when so much energy seems to be turned and focused on the self, on the individual, on individual rights, communal stuff seems to have sort of fallen off to the side. When we watch our politicians and our business people try to figure out how to gain for themselves as much power and money and security at any cost, we need an antidote, a different word. Perhaps this is no clearer than in what's happening to our planet. The liturgy that we're using today is one that was developed around eco-justice, to celebrate the earth and all of her gifts and our responsibility within it. It was developed by a team of people here at LCH together with Pastor Fritz Fritschel as a way to remind us again and again of our place, of our stewardship within God's great creation. And that our first responsibility for that creation begins in our love for God and for one another. I am neither the first nor the last to admit that, like so many other people, I have had lived a life of privilege in which I've been able to have all of the energy and water and resources that I could possibly want as long as I had the money to pay for it. Sometimes, because of the easy availability of what we have and what we can consume, we forget that it comes at a cost. So the other day, I was reading an article, and as you know, there's ratings for everything, particularly eco ratings for everything. And in it, they rated, of all things, toilet paper. You would be surprised at the ecologic impact that toilet paper has. And it turns out, like for everything else, there's a score for that. So it has to do with how much recycled material, how much of the pulp product has been taken out of sustainable forests, all of these different parameters that they put on. And it turns out, I've been buying the worst toilet paper in the world. Who knew? So I thought, well, I better get on to Amazon and see if I can get a more eco-just toilet paper, because that's what we ought to do, right? And here's the conundrum. I can buy enough toilet paper at Costco to last 4 months for the same price that I can buy eco toilet paper for 2 weeks. We're left with a choice. Now that's a pretty minor choice, it seems, but if you multiply that by millions and millions and millions of rolls of toilet paper worldwide, suddenly the trees begin to weep. For God's sake, they say, do something. The problem is that we're always weighing, as we do in everything, whether or not we're willing to pay more for less, to allocate our hard-earned dollars in one way or another. It's a tough decision that when you blow it up into a global scale, you begin to see why so many times we choose what is best for ourselves rather than what is good for the earth. We've learned over the years that the development of alternative energy sources, that the focus on that development has based largely on when it became affordable. But affordable means, how does it compare to the price of oil? That's our standard. So we look at hard dollars and cents and we make decisions. And for a long time, solar was just, and I remember hearing this over and over again, solar power is just too expensive. It's too inefficient. And it is expensive at first. But then you get to thinking, how much does it cost me to pump sunlight out of the ground? Not very much. It turns out it's everywhere during the day. Many years ago, we made the decision at LCH to invest in solar for our energy needs. Not as much for a fiscal advantage. That certainly was part of it. But also because we felt it was our responsibility to lower our carbon footprint. It was a huge investment. But in the end, it will pay off with more than dollars. Our little inverters have a cool thing that I can go and knock on the... It's very strange, but I can knock on the inverter and a little thing will come up and tell us how many pounds of carbon we have saved on any given day or month. It's remarkable. It's frightening. So as we celebrate this day of St. Francis, one of the things that we celebrate, of course, as my bishop says, you got to preach the gospel, is that what we're really about is not just our own self-interest, because that's unfortunately a lot of the eco stuff that we have now. We're trying to frighten people into doing the right thing, right? Look, we live on an island in the middle of the ocean, and the sea is rising. There is no way to make that good news. And we are one of many, many places who will find themselves with wet feet. But it turns out scaring people into change has not been particularly helpful. The conversation goes something like this: if we don't change our ways, if we don't stop using fossil fuels and heating up the planet, then
a litany of dire consequences.
And sometimes the stick is needed. But we also may need another philosophical way to get at what's happening in our planet. A degradation that is leading literally to the starvation of millions of people. As there is drought where never before there has been drought. As water floods into places that have been traditionally dry. And places are hotter than they have ever been. It might be the Shema is the beginning of our answer. In Genesis, we heard the story of God placing us as stewards over all the earth for us to love and care and steward it. Maybe the starting place is with love and with the gospel. Maybe what we need to do is love our way into a new way of being in the world. And by that I mean, sure, it's great to love God and hope for the best, because I hear a lot of that too. I hear a lot of, well, you know, this is all part of a great plan. And my response to that is, then it must be a really crummy plan. I don't believe for a moment that God is going to somehow magically fix all of this. What I do believe is that God has given us the intelligence and the tools and the people and the technology and the resilience to learn to love each other and the earth again. And to love it more then we love ourselves. And that might be the key. It might be that we have to give up cheap toilet paper. It might be that we might have to drive a little less. It might be that we will change our eating habits and our entertainment habits in our consumption habits. But most of all, it might mean we might have to learn to love again anew. I wonder, and this is not to denigrate our pets, we're here to bless our pets today, and we will certainly do that, but imagine if we loved the earth and were willing to make the same investment in our neighbor as we do in our pets. Wouldn't the world look different? It's that simple and that difficult. That as God's chosen ones, as it says in Colossians, holy and beloved, that we would clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and meekness and humility and patience and bear with up with one another for the sake of the whole. And the best part of it is that God has already given us everything we need to do just that. I do not believe myself that God is going to come and sweep away our woes and the whole earth be remade into paradise. But what I do think is that God will be with us and in us and through us well enough that we might learn to love in the way that God first and still loves us. And that through love we will become a blessing and not a burden to the earth. That through love we might be willing to give up something that children might not starve, or die, or be victims of violence. If the stick is not working, for God's sake, try the carrot. And the greatest carrot we could ever have is love. Amen. Our worship continues this morning with our hymn of the day. It is, "Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart," ELW number 750.